Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When you, as a person who believes in Jesus, when you fall under like a condemnation over all of the things that you've done in your past, and you start feeling condemned over it and all of this guilt is overwhelming you, this is what you need to know. It's not God who's putting that trip on you, because God has removed our iniquities from us as far as the east is from the west. He's removed them as far as possible.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues in his series, The Songs of the Saints. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Psalm 103 in a message titled, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so we've landed on the 103rd Psalm, and I have to say that this is one of my favorite psalms. I just absolutely love this psalm. I find myself gravitating toward it. I find myself meditating on it. I find that oftentimes when I'm talking to people, I'm referring to it. Sometimes in counseling, I'm bringing it to bear on the issues that we're dealing with in the counseling. It is a great, great word, this 103rd psalm. As someone said, there is more in this psalm than 1,000 pens could write on. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures, which is a Bible in itself. And that's really true. You find sometimes maybe a chapter or a psalm, or even sometimes just a scripture itself, sometimes just a sentence where it's like the whole of the biblical revelation is captured in just that brief statement. And that's the case here with this 103rd Psalm. It's kind of the whole gospel is really wrapped up right here in this psalm. And we're going to see that as we go through it. The psalm is written by David. And as I mentioned before, he wrote many of the psalms, but not all of them. And it is a call to worship. It is an exhortation to the soul to bless the Lord for who he is and for all that he has done. And it's really a reminder to us to count our blessings and to give the glory, the honor, and the praise to the one who is worthy, and that's the Lord. And I want you to notice as the psalm begins, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's actually not preaching to somebody else. He's speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's like he's going to speak to his own heart and arouse himself spiritually to worship. And, you know, we need to do that sometimes because we can grow dull spiritually. Our hearts can become hard and we can lose sight of how good God is and find ourselves not really inclined toward worship or prayer or thanksgiving. Sometimes we can find ourselves more toward complaining and grumbling about things and just kind of have, generally speaking, kind of having an unthankful attitude. And we're all prone to that. We all can go there. David evidently could go there. And that's why he's preaching to himself in a sense. And you know, that's a thing that we as believers need to do often. We need to preach to ourselves. Some have suggested that we regularly preach the gospel to ourselves. And I think that there's a lot of wisdom to that. I need to constantly be reminding myself of who God is and his goodness and what he's done and thinking about where he's brought me from and all of those things. And the person who does that, the person who keeps all of that fresh in their mind, is the person that's going to live in a place of rejoicing, going to live in a place of thankfulness, and really in a place of blessing. Because when you have that grateful attitude, you know, along with it, there's a blessing that comes. And so David exhorts us to speak to our own souls, to bless the Lord. And he says, and forget not all his benefits. And you know, I think it's the case often when we forget all that God has done for us, that's when we can grow sort of hard and dull. That's when we can become somewhat unthankful. So it's a good thing to keep reminding ourselves of what God has done and where he's brought us from and how he's delivered us. It's a good thing to do that. And so David, he goes here in verses 3-5, and he lists some of the benefits that he just mentioned. And at the top of his list is forgiveness, who forgives all your iniquities. That's right there. That's where it starts. Forgiveness. Forget not all of his benefits. What benefits are we talking about? Well, number one, we're talking about forgiveness. We have been forgiven by God. We have been completely forgiven. You see, when God forgives, he doesn't just forgive partially, and he doesn't just forgive temporarily. When God forgives us, he forgives us totally and permanently. And we need to remember that. And what is it that we've been forgiven of? Who forgives us of all our iniquities? The word iniquity is a strong word. There's words like sin, there's words like transgression, and then there's words like iniquity. And iniquity, the word iniquity is a word that kind of describes the evilness of sin. You know, sin means to miss the mark. That's the meaning of the word. But iniquity is like a deeper thing, because it's not just missing the mark, but it's talking about the evilness that is behind the missing of the mark. And I like to remind people that what the gospel forgives us of are real sins, serious things that we have done in violation of God's word. And there's not a single thing that any person has done that is unforgivable. You know, the Bible is clear. There's only one unforgivable sin, and that unforgivable sin is to not receive the forgiver, Jesus. All other sin, as Jesus himself said, will be forgiven. The only one that can't be forgiven is the rejection of the forgiver. And so whatever our sins might be, and the guilt of those sins, and the shame that comes along with that, and the potential punishment of sin that will inevitably come for those who do not receive the forgiveness, all of that we have been freed from. We've been freed from the guilt. We've been freed from the shame. And listen, if you've received Jesus Christ, your past sins are gone. God is not, he doesn't keep a record of those things. And the psalm makes that clear to us. Remember what it says here in verses 10 and also 12. In 10 it says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Listen, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. There's a passage in Micah, the very end of the prophet Micah, and it says that God has taken our sins and he's cast them into the depths of the sea. So when you, as a person who believes in Jesus, when you fall under like a condemnation over all of the things that you've done in your past, maybe, and you start thinking about that and that starts weighing you down and you start feeling condemned over it and all of this guilt is overwhelming you, this is what you need to know. It's not God who's putting that trip on you, because God has removed our iniquities from us as far as the east is from the west. He's removed them as far as possible. He remembers our sins and our lawless deeds no more. That's the beauty of forgiveness of sins. I heard the story recently about a young man who, in an attempted robbery, he ended up committing a murder. he didn't intend to murder anyone, but in the course of the robbery, he did murder. As he was trying to rob the person fought back, and he ended up picking up a club and hitting the person in the head, and the person died. But nobody was there. Nobody saw it. And it was a mystery as to, you know, what had happened. And that person, that young man, was never found out. And for about 20 years, he lived under the crushing guilt of having killed that person. And as time went on, he came into contact with the gospel. And he heard about the forgiveness that Jesus brings. And he asked Christ into his life. And he received the forgiveness of God. And immediately he knew that he needed to go to the police and turn himself in for that crime that nobody had ever found out, you know, how it happened. So he went to the police. He told them what happened. He took them back to the date. And initially they thought this, you know, this guy's making this up. This isn't true. But as they followed up, they found out it was absolutely true. And yes, indeed, he was the one who perpetrated the crime. And someone had asked him in this process if he was fearful about now having to go to prison. And you know what his response was? He says, oh, absolutely not. He said, no, I've already been in prison. I was in prison for 20 years. I was in a state of torture for 20 years, just living with the guilt of that. And he talked about how he was so completely set free from that guilt that going to prison as a prospect didn't faze him in the least. There was no prison on earth, he thought, that could match the prison that the guilt of his sin had put him in. So he was completely free. And he ended up not actually being put in prison because it was so obvious to the judge that he was a different person, you know, having come and confessed and so forth. But the point in the story is the crushing burden of the guilt of sin that was destroying his life. And we all know that to some degree. We all look back at certain things in our past, and still today, oftentimes we're haunted by those things. But listen, know this, he's removed our iniquities from us as far as the east is from the west. And this is what David is saying. And remember, David had his own sins, right? David was just like us. He was a sinner. David could look back in his history and he could remember an adultery. He could also remember setting up the husband of the woman he committed adultery with to be killed in a battle. So these were heavy, heavy sins that David committed. Under the Mosaic law, for either thing, you should have been put to death. But the Lord had mercy on David. His life was spared. He had certain consequences that he lived with, but he knew firsthand the benefit of having his iniquities forgiven. And that's where the list starts. He's forgiven our iniquities. But then it says that he heals all your diseases. Another benefit, God heals us. You know, he heals us from the past. He heals us from the consequences of living with the virus of sin. We're all infected with the same virus that eventually kills us. It's sin. And sin has consequences. But you know, when you come to Christ, he heals us of those things, those diseases of the soul. He also heals us of bodily afflictions at times. And I think David was probably thinking about both things when he spoke of healing of diseases here. Because in the Psalms, again, as we read through, there are certain Psalms where David describes himself as being physically afflicted, having an ailment and crying out and being in a deep depression or being in a state where he thought that he was perhaps going to die of this affliction, but then he recovered. And he recognized that it was the Lord who was the one who healed him. Now, of course, in those days, they didn't have the medical advancements that we have today and, you know, the medicines and all of that sort of thing. So back in those days when you were healed, you were pretty certain it was God who did it. But you know, it's God who does it today as well. Regardless of the means, when a person is healed of a disease, it's because God builds our bodies to do that, first of all, but it's because God intervenes. Many years ago, 30 plus years ago, I met a guy. He was a golf instructor. He was a golf pro at a local golf course. And we met, and the first thing he told me when I met him, he said, "I want to tell you my story." He said, "I was diagnosed with terminal cancer." He said, "I had all kinds of issues. I went in for exploratory surgery. They opened me up and they immediately closed me up and said, 'Nothing we can do for you,' sent me home to die." Said he went home. I think he was in his, you know, maybe like his late 30s, early 40s at the time. And he just said he was so heartbroken. He looked at his children and they were not yet grown or married. And he thought, "I'm going to miss their wedding and I'm going to miss their lives and grandchildren and all of that." It was, you know, very depressing for him. And he was just crying out to God. He had recently become a Christian. And he said that he went out in his backyard and he sat down and he just said, "God, I don't want to die." And he said, a peace came on him like he'd never known before. And a voice spoke to him and said, "You're fine. I've taken care of it." Went back to the doctor. Sure enough, "I don't know what's happened," the doctor said, "but you have no cancer in your body." That guy's still alive today. And, you know, the Lord healed him. And he told me, he actually told me at the time, he said, "You know," he said, "I just made a commitment to the Lord that I'm going to tell this story to everybody I meet." I said, "Well, it's a good story. You ought to tell it to everybody you meet." But it's just illustrating the point that we're making here, that the Lord heals us of diseases. Not always, but when we do get healed, know this, whether it's through a doctor or whether it's just through the natural, seemingly natural process of your body just restoring itself, at the end, we know that God is behind all of those things. But then David says, "Who redeems your life from destruction." The blessing of having been freed from those sinful habits that were destroying our lives. You know, this is what sin does. You know, people think, "Well, you know, why doesn't God want me to sin? I mean, sin is fun. I like doing this stuff." Well, you know what? It is fun for a season. The Bible doesn't deny that. The Bible tells us. I love this about the Bible. It's a very honest book. There is pleasure in sin, but just remember this final part of the statement, for a season. It's a passing pleasure. And underneath that pleasure is poison. And this is what happens as we give our lives over to sin. What we're really doing is giving our lives over to destructive behavior. And those destructive behaviors, ultimately, they take their toll on our lives. But David says that he has redeemed our lives from destruction. And that's what he does. When he redeems us, when he brings us to himself, he delivers us from those destructive behaviors. You know, I spent the last week with my dad. He came and visited. And it's been a long time since we spent this much time together. And we just had such a wonderful time together. But he hasn't been down. He moved out of the area here 38 years ago, and he hasn't really come back and, you know, been in the area too much other than just in and out, in and out. But he hasn't spent a whole lot of time. So we took some time and we drove around. I kind of took him back through our old neighborhoods and some of the areas, and we kind of a stroll down memory lane. But some of our memories were, you know, pretty... you know, we were remembering some pretty rough things back then. And we were talking about some of the kind of the wild and crazy things we used to do. My dad's just a little bit over 16 years older than I am. So there was a time in our lives when we were more like brothers and kind of partners in crime. You know, we were doing a lot of things that we shouldn't have been doing at the time, or at any time for that matter. But But as we were going and we were kind of reminiscing about some of this stuff, I said to him at one point, I go, Dad, can you believe that you used to drive your Harley around with a sawed-off shotgun at your side? I mean, what were you thinking? He said, yeah, you know, obviously I wasn't thinking. I was crazy, and it's a miracle that I'm alive today. And I said, yeah, amen. It is indeed a miracle that we're alive today. But looking back over those things and thinking about how God redeemed us from those destructive behaviors. And I was reminding him of some of my own experiences of being in jail and being arrested for drugs and, you know, all of these kinds of things that were part of my life back in those days. And the destructive course that I was on at the time. But the Lord redeems us from destruction. And so as we look back at those things, man, it more magnifies the goodness and the grace of God. We just think, wow, the Lord is so good that he delivered us from those things. And I know that some of you here have stories that are similar. Freed from those sinful habits. But then he says, crowned us. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Think of that picture of crowning. You know, when somebody is crowned, there's something wonderful about that. Well, what does God crown us with? He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. And he satisfies us with good things. And when God redeems us, you know what he does is he renews us. I've seen many people over the years that sin has taken such a severe toll on them. It's in their countenance. You can see it. You can look at them and you can say, man, sin has really taken its toll on this person. And then some of those same people, you see them after having been forgiven and come into a relationship with Christ, and it's like there's a renewal that begins to take place. Their countenance changes, their countenance softens, and there's something about their life, and there's like a renewal of youth sometimes, and it's amazing. I've seen this with people over and over throughout the years. I've seen people who were young that looked old because of sin and received Jesus and began to follow him and live according to his word, and when they got older, then they looked young. Anybody that's getting older, you want to stay young? Jesus has the plan. He'll keep you young because he renews our youth just as the eagle, and he satisfies us with good things. Listen, David's big point here is the goodness of God. And we need to remember, if we don't remember anything else about God, we need to remember this one thing. God is good. God is good, and his ways are good. And his plan is good. I was talking to 500 plus young men last night between the ages of 18 and maybe 22. And as I was sharing with them, I was just trying to give them the Bible in 15 minutes, you know, the message of the Bible. And I just began with the point number one, that we are all created by God and made in his image and likeness. Point number two, we're all created with a purpose. And that purpose ultimately is to know God and to live in his plan.
We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as he continues his series on the Songs of the Saints. Thank you for listening to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson. These programs exist to help believers grow in God's Word and to point others to Jesus Christ. Back to Basics is fully supported by listeners like you. Your generosity allows us to share these Bible teachings daily on radio and podcast. To support the ministry or sign up for our newsletter, visit backtobasicsradio.com. And now, here's Pastor Brian.
I love it here in this psalm where David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul."
and forget not all of his benefits. And we see with David something that we also need to do, and that's remind ourselves, stir ourselves up. We can easily just become sort of dull to the goodness of God, the things of God. We need to sort of provoke ourselves at times. We need to challenge ourselves to bless the Lord. As we think about his benefits, as we think about all that he's done for us, as we think about the forgiveness of sins and healing us and all of those things are to provoke praise and blessing. And so let's just remember that that does happen sometimes. We get a bit dull, but we've got the remedy right here. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Broderson.